off we go.
Picture this. Recording studio somewhere far, far away. You bugger.
Say, kids, what time is it?
It's time for...
The Merry White House Experience! Thank you very much. Thank you, and welcome to the new series of The Merry White House Experience. Now, it's just after New Year's Eve. I should tell you what I did on New Year's Eve. I had a very strange sexual experience. I went back to this woman's house. We were standing in the living room, and I said to her suavely, "Is that coffee I smell?" And she said, "It is, and you do." And when we got that joke, we went to the bedroom, and we got undressed. And she said to me, "You know, have you brought any mates?" And I said, "No, I've come on my own." I said that again a bit later on, actually. Anyway, I've been David Baddiel, and this is Punt and Dennis.
It's January, and January can only mean one thing.
The shopping experience.
The January sales are the biggest rip-off in the calendar. For a start, they begin on December the 27th, so that shops can rub in the fact that you had to pay full price for the same stuff 3 days earlier.
Secondly, the stuff that's in the sale is never the stuff you want. A record shop, for example, will say, "Albums and tapes from 99p. But in fact, what's actually on sale for 99p will be Joe Dolce, Peter Frampton, the Brotherhood of Man, Baccarat, Glenn Medeiros, and the soundtrack album of Can't Stop the Music. And anything by Rick Astley."
Also, beware the small print on sale price albums. If you find a record called Elvis, read it closely, and it's probably called "A Tribute to Elvis," sung by Edwin Knobhead and the Kraptones.
But at least record shops do genuinely have sales. There are other places which have always got a sale on.
Even more pointless than places which always have a sale are shops which only sell one product.
Tie Rack. Prices are down on ties. Big ties, reduced. Thin ties, cost less. Plain ties, you don't pay as much as you used to. Pattern ties, at a price reduced from its normal level. Yes, we've got hundreds of ties, all with a percentage reduction in retail value. We've got lots of ties, all at a discounted profit margin. We've got cheap ties.
The only shops worth going to for sales are ones which sell a range of discounted rubbish, i.e. department stores. However, department stores also have their drawbacks. For a start, there are certain words which only survive in the English language through department stores. Words like haberdashery. People in real life don't go around saying, do like your haberdashery. Or, what would you like for your birthday? Oh, some haberdashery, please. Suppose everybody talked like department stores.
Police today are hunting three men who robbed a bank in Ealing, getting away with £250,000. The gang were all wearing menswear. One of them was wearing a toilet requisite and a large millinery item. The men had disguised their faces with haberdashery and lingerie. One of the men was carrying a sawn-off wildlife termination requisite, which he had sawn off using a household item. Police are currently using large amounts of stationery and electrical goods and say that at least two of the men are previously known to their records department.
The point of January sales is to shift all last year's old stock. Smiley T-shirts, copies of Black Eyes, and How to Win Friends and Influence People by Nicolae Ceaușescu. One of the areas in which styles change is consumer durables. Well, what is a durable? A durable is something which breaks after 2 weeks.
Shops selling electrical goods are always a problem. The main reason for this is that to work in a shop selling electrical goods, you need two qualifications. A, you must know nothing at all about electrical goods. And B, about electrical goods, you must know nothing at all.
Excuse me, I'm thinking of buying a compact disc player, but I need to know if it's compatible with my current system, a Trio amp and two JBL speakers.
It's £149.99.
Yes, I can see that. But does it have a 5-pin DIN socket?
It's £149.99.
Yes, I know that. I need to know if it's compatible with a Trio 40-watt TRGS amplifier.
I'll get the manager.
Ah, you're the manager, thank heavens. Look, is this CD compatible with my current system?
It's £149.99, sir. Why is a stereo never £250, always £249.99? Is this a plot by the Royal Mint to keep the one penny coin in circulation? How far does this go?
Ah, Air Commodore Harker, we're proud to present the Royal Air Force with this new Hawker Siddeley Harrier jump jet. And here's your penny change.
And today, in the House of Commons, Transport Secretary Cecil Parkinson announced revised estimates for the cost of the Channel Tunnel. The channel will now cost £7,002,399,099, excluding batteries.
Picture this.
And now, the street life experience.
Have you got any spare change, please? I haven't got any money.
That was a sound which in the last half of the decade we all had to get used to. The sad and unmistakable voice of Ken Dodd. But there are others too. These new young beggars we call Tibbet children, partly because his Employment Act of 1988 is directly responsible for their existence, but mainly because after 6 weeks of sleeping rough, going without food and not being able to get hold of a proper razor, you begin to look like Norman Tibbet. Homeless people also suffer from being confused with tramps. But tramps are actually people who have made a career decision. But we mustn't forget the very useful social function that tramps do perform. Sabotaging street theatre. And therefore making it entertaining. And the same with busking. No matter how well a busker sings Yesterday, the only thing which ever brings the crowds flocking in is when the passing tramp, out of the goodness of his heart, joins in. In fact, this is always so enjoyable, one wonders why on the original recording Paul McCartney didn't use a tramp.
Okay then, Paul. Okay then, Nobby. The tape's rolling. Yesterday, take six.
Yesterday. It's far away,
Streets are the more! This space so long, I dropped the lot of you.
Tramps do, however, occasionally perform solo. This is because the vagrancy laws passed in the mid-19th century make begging a criminal offence, but not busking. Many tramps, in fact, redefine the whole concept of busking.
I'm talking about cancer and cider. I'll take the lot of you on. 5 years in the Marines, that's me.
And later on we'll be playing some more Bob Dylan. According to tramps, busking consists entirely of putting your flat cap on the floor. Then they'll shout, dance, have a brain hemorrhage, and expect to be paid for it. Some of them seem to think that having a bit of snot hanging out of your nose counts as performance art. This, I think, is why they spend so much time outside the Royal Festival Hall. They're hoping to be spotted and put on at the Purcell Rooms.
Hello, and welcome to the Royal Festival Hall for the premiere performance of this recently updated version of the Beggar's Opera. In Act One, Mad Jack McLafferty comes on and shouts for a long time about how his hands are deadly weapons, and don't you forget it. Until, in a moment of supreme irony, a member of the audience gets up to buy an ice cream, and he panics and runs away. Act Two is taken up mainly with a long nap on top of his lifelong friend, Jerry, who he met last week. During this time, Mad Jack breaks the record for the most fluid ounces of urine ever to emerge from a single trouser leg. And then follows a long soliloquy on the subject of the Germans, although I can't be sure, it might have been about how his marriage broke up and someone called Norm didn't pay him. The central theme remains, however, consistent. His hands are deadly weapons, and don't you forget it. And then the grand finale is Alder's dead, Tristan laments, and Mad Jack has a bit of snot hanging out of his nose.
This is the Mark Thomas Experience. This is the bit where I talk about a topic of the week. We started off with Berlin. I just thought that was absolutely wonderful. What was happening there was brilliant because the Berlin Wall goes down and there's this huge, huge, massive queue of people trying to get out. Enormous great queue, and there's just a couple at the back going, is this for bread or meat? What's going on? Well, I was just looking at the Eastern Bloc, and what happened there was just brilliant, and it would never, ever happen in this country. Mainly because in this country, if you start tearing down a wall, someone will appear going, have you got planning permission for that? But I bet you one thing, if we did have a revolution and the army came over to the people's side, I bet you the ambulance drivers didn't take their jobs. Not funny, but good. I like that one. Anyway, what else have we had going? Oh, we had Ron Brown as well. He's been accused of stealing ladies' underwear. Which, you know, Tories are in uproar, because that's their job. We should be doing that. He didn't go to public school or anything, did he? No, he didn't. But I think it's quite sad. If he does get deselected, he can always get a job as Tom Jones road manager. Do you want those? I'll pick them up, thank you. And then Samuel Beckett died, after a long pause. All the mourners came in, sat there for 3 hours, nothing happened, you know. What else have we had? Oh, I tell you what, I sussed out as well. This is brilliant. If any small country gets invaded, you have to buy the produce. Like, if you support a free island, you have to buy Kerrygold butter. If you support independent Nicaragua, you have to buy the coffee. I just thought, oh, it's just such a good job that Noriega was a dictator. So, comrade, you're not doing enough. Oh, I'm sorry. Be walking round with snort a line for freedom all over your T-shirts. I was just sort of grateful that. And I was thinking, the US Army are sent in to deal with a drug dealer. That's stupid. That's absolutely crazy. That's like sending Dennis Thatcher into the off-licence just for a Mars bar. The US Army are the only army that do not march on their stomach because we don't feel right hungry at the moment. It's just absolutely incredible what's happening in there, you know. They can't find him. They couldn't find Noriega. He suddenly becomes the Mark Thatcher of Panama. I'm thinking, you can't find him. You trained him. Look in the places you told him to hide. And they're all outside the embassy and everything. Well, the papal mission, which, because the US, obviously, they respect diplomatic procedure and sanctity, unless it's Nicaraguan. And I find it really, really strange, because what they did was they, once they found that Noriega was inside the little papal mission, they started playing disco music to him to keep him awake. The man's a coke fiend. And you want to keep him awake? They're playing the music. He's inside going, whoa, let's party, woo! We've just had a message from the general, sir. Could we have village people on next? You do feel slightly sorry when sort of Noriega gets invaded by the US. You think, oh, poor sod. I actually do feel a little bit sorry because Christmas in a papal mission must have been really sad. Oh, another rosary. Thanks a lot. Thank you. I actually sent him two Christmas presents. I sent Noriega a little badge which said, for the man who had everything, and a soap on the noose. Which is, But I do, my personal feeling is that I do hope that Noriega is actually shot, because I want to bring out a video compilation of him and Ceausescu. Which is, now, that's what I call Executions, Volume 1. Actually, I hope Volume 2 will have Deng Xiaoping and Kenneth Clark, but, you know. First of all, I want to take a quick vote. How many people actually supported the US invasion of Panama? Did you support the US invasion at all?
Nope.
Firm, decisive. Okay, why not?
Because it's a big person picking on a little person.
The play school approach to politics. And if we look through the round window, who are we invading today? Okay, can I ask you, did you support the American... Don't look at the floor. did you support the American invasion of Panama?
No. Because... it's none of the United States' business to moralise about other countries and go and invade them.
Picture this.
And now, the Helpline Experience.
The Mary Whitehouse Experience would like to announce that a helpline has been set up for those sad bastards who gave any of the following as Christmas presents.
The Remington Fuzzaway.
A tea towel with an explanation of the rules of cricket written on it.
A dancing plant.
The Sunday Sport book of front covers.
Beginning by Kenneth Branagh.
Sing along a War Years 2 with Max Bygraves.
The Neighbours board game.
Daymart thermal lingerie.
A bottle of Monterey.
Meltis Newbury fruits.
Remington ear and nose hair clippers.
The love songs of Andrew Lloyd Webber, played by Richard Clayderman.
The bread board game.
A windscreen ice scraper.
A pair of men's briefs bearing the slogan, Beware the Beast.
The Old Spice Christmas gift barrel.
An Amstrad satellite dish.
The Jive Bunny picture disc album.
A box of matchmakers.
The Jason Donovan board game.
A mug saying World's Greatest Mum.
A box of Beer Ritz chocolates.
A BBC video, the best of Noel Edmonds' Saturday Roadshow.
A fur orange car keyring.
A hydraulic mooning puppet for your rear window.
McDonald's fast food vouchers.
Lines are now open. All calls are confidential, so call Free Phone Sad Bastard.
Right, well, on that compassionate note, we shall start with the punchline experience. Now, before the show, the studio audience were invited to write down witty and punchlines to the following phrase, which was, the 80s was my favourite decade because. Now, we've gathered them all up, and we shall read out, and the funniest will win a prize. A Remington fuzz away. All right, the first one is, the 80s was my favourite decade because I'm 9 years old. A logical one there from Sanjeev Shah. the 80s was my favourite decade because it was twice as much fun as the 40s, and that's from... that's from Nicole... Solero, and I never saw it through, from Nicolae Ceaușescu. Oh dear. Jimi Hendrix was reborn as me, from Mark, brackets Jimmy H. Now Mark, where are you? It's there. Mark, hello Mark. Yes, you look uncannily like Jimi Hendrix. Can you stand up and sing All Along the Watchtower, please, Mark? Well, can you throw up and die on your own vomit? The 80s was my favourite decade because... it wasn't because all of it was spent under Thatcher, and that's from Dennis. I was made redundant and homeless, but now I have a job and a home and can look back and laugh. I am an estate agent. That's from Denise Hill. I like this one. By a strange coincidence, the 80s is also my favourite bath temperature. And that's from Phil Churton. Phil Churton, excellent. Excellent. The 80s is my favourite decade because I survived school, survived starting a career, left home, jumped from a plane, joined the TA, went for a night in the Hippodrome, rode a 500 motorcycle and survived. And that's from Joanna Hayes. What a shame you survived. and that's from... I lost my virginity, and that's from Sybil Mays. Oh, dear. I got stoned and missed it. John Rennie.
Well, the sky was blue and the corn was green. When we got wed at 17, we found a little shack in Heartbreak Pass. But just before the year was through, my eyes were turned from brown to blue when baby went and joined that evening class. The dude that taught her, what a swine, he took her from these arms of mine with his spare rib diary and his dungarees. I'll bet he thought that he could win when she fell for words like underpin his sandals and his vegetarian cheese. Well, all my happiness is at an end, and I sit here with a bottle for my friend. I join a men's support group to win her back if I can. 'Cause my baby went and left me for a reconstructed man. Let me tell you what happened. Well, I took her to this dance one night. She said my Levi's were too tight and they'd gone out of style in 74. Well, she wants a man with trendy hair and condoms in his underwear. I don't think I can cut it anymore. You see, she wants a man with some inner strength who will not be ashamed of his penis length and who will not feel ill at ease while wearing shorts like I do. A man that is kind, a man that'll care, a man who is sexually aware, but a man who will not play competitive sports. Well, all my happiness is at an end, and I sit here with a bottle for my friend. I'd give up meat, I'd wash my feet, do anything I can. 'Cause my baby went and left me for a reconstructed man. And that's when I got mad.
Tell them what happened.
So I made my mind up then and there. I joined a men's group and cut my hair. I donned my dungarees and I left the shack.
Shack, shack.
I cut out sports, I cut out beer. I read the works of Germaine Greer. And so I went to get my baby back. Oh, well, I grabbed the bastard by the throat as he stood there in his duffel coat. I ripped each trendy badge from his lapel. Woo! He said, I'm not a violent man. I said, okay, 'cause I sure am. I shot him, and I watched him as he fell. But now, he's in heaven, and I'm in hell. And here's the story that I must tell. My baby's left me for a guy named Dean.
A guy named Dean.
She said, okay, so you got new clothes, but here's why you get up my nose.
You're still as boring as you've always been.
Well, all my happiness is at an end, because I'm so boring I can't find a friend. So boys, if you are D-U-L-L-O, a doe, you need a plan. Or your baby just might leave you for a reconstructed man. Your baby just might leave you for a reconstructed man.
Yes, she might.
Your baby just might leave you for a reconstructed man.
Welcome to the Mary Whitehouse Experience's very own game show, Shag or Die. Now, some of you may have played versions of this game before. The rules are quite simple. Two contestants, one male and one female, are each given two names. And they have to decide which one of these, under pain of death, they would prefer to shag. So, could we have two contestants, please? Firstly, a woman. I thought possibly one of the people who lost their virginity in the 80s. Might be good. I noticed they're both over 40. How about you? What's your name?
Tracy.
Tracy, splendid. And would you, would you like to play Shag or Die, Tracy? No, don't just hold the script. Would you like to play Shag or Die?
Shag.
Shag. No. Clearly Tracy's a little confused about the question. But if you're lucky, you know, that might all come later. So if you'll come with me, Tracy, just stand on the stage. And over there, and we also need a male contestant. Is there any male contestant who wants to play Shag or Die? No, we're going to have to choose the man in the millets jumper. Okay, so what's your name, sir?
Peter.
Okay, Peter, come up here. Now, if you'd like to go with Rob Newman, over there with Rob Newman. Now, Rob Newman is our matchmaker for Pete, but for Tracy, we have a very special matchmaker here tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, could you please welcome Alison Goldie? Yeah.
Hi.
Right, two matchmakers are, let's say, Alison Goldie and Rob Newman, and so in round one, each contestant has three sets of choices. Now, if their answer coincides with the answer that their matchmaker would give, they get a point. So let's play Shag or Die.
Well, thank you, David. Now, the first couple that you have to choose between, who would you would shag if you absolutely had to, OK? First choice. OK, Peter. Ready? Barbara Cartland or Claire Rayner? I understand it. Under pain of death here, Peter.
Claire Rayner.
Claire Rayner. Claire Rayner. Definitely Claire Rayner. Definitely Claire Rayner. There's 1 point there.
Oh, yeah. God, right. Well, that's a point to Peter, so could we now have Tracy's choice, please?
Which of these blokes would you rather shag? Leon Britton or Henry Kelly?
Oh, dear, oh, dear.
I know it's a hard one.
That's not what I thought.
Who's Leon Britton, she said?
Yeah, Tracy living up to a stereotype of her name there, ladies and gentlemen.
OK, Trace, if I say a big, fat git to you, does that make it any clearer? Yep, which one would you rather have?
Henry Kelly.
I think I'd have to disagree, actually, because I might like my men very greasy, so right. I'd go for Leon.
You'd go for Leon, OK. Mm. So that's one shag to Peter and no shag to Tracy.
OK, Peter, but no cause for complacency as we go into the second round. Second round, but another toughie. Mandy Smith or Thora Heard? Tough. Mandy Smith or Thora Heard. If you had to shag one of these, which one would it be?
I'd rather die.
You'd rather die than shag Mandy
Smith. No, that's not an option. Yeah, that's not an option.
I'm afraid that as the referee says, that's not it. You have to shag one of them. You do have to shag one of them.
Mandy Smith.
Mandy Smith. But she gives you the hornet.
Okay, thank you, Rob, thank
like
you.
Over these Zimmer
well,
plays.
It looks like that's no point there, because I know you'll check Thora Heard under really anyone else in the world. So so can we have Tracy's choice?
Yes, this is a bit of an unusual one for you, Tracy. Would you rather have Raj Van Sash for Bardi, a Sudanese leper, or Keith Chegwin?
Keith Chegwin, definitely.
Yes, I think I'd have to agree with you on that one. Yes, little Keith we'd have.
Yeah, I don't think Tracy's heard of Raj Vanesh Fabadi either, but never mind. Okay, so the final score is 2 to Tracy and only 1 to Peter. So I'm afraid, Peter... Woo! I'm afraid we're going to have to lose you, Peter, so... But no one goes away empty-handed, so there's a porno mag and they're in the toilets. a big hand is what you probably need. So, Tracy. All right, Tracy, my love, can I ask you now to join me on the hotspot for the grand finale, Hobson's Shag. This is the hotspot here. Right, right now in this round, you have one more final shag or die choice to make, and there's no politician, so you don't have to worry, which this week is Jimmy Savile or Ian Paisley. Now, before you make this final choice, Tracy, I should tell you that both these celebrities are in the studio tonight, and... They are both now going to come forward, and they have now got 30 seconds in which to state their case for why they should be the shag you shag in Hobson's Shag. So please, ladies and gentlemen, a big hand for Mr. Jimmy Savile.
Thank you very much indeed. Hello, David.
Right, Jimmy, you know the game. You've got 20 seconds in which to state your case as articulately as possible, starting from now.
How's about that, then? Oh, lovely girl, lovely Tracy. Would you please fix it for me to make this noise? Oh, dear, oh, dear.
Well, there we have it, there we have it.
Tracy.
So let's see what your other choice has to say to sway you. Ladies and gentlemen, Ian Paisley. Ian, just a word of advice. I think you should try a slightly more subtle approach than Jimmy's.
Shag me, stupid! Why do you think I'm like this? It's all a pretense so I can get off with some girls!
Okay, thank you, Ian. Thank you, Ian. Time's up. Okay, Tracy, I ought to explain to you that Ian Paisley is something to do with Northern Ireland. I don't know if you know about that. So which one of those two would you choose?
Jimmy Savile.
Why? Can I ask you why?
I love men who smoke cigars.
You love men who smoke cigars. Well, that's very good. So a big hand for Tracy and a big hand, I think, for Jimmy, who hasn't shagged for 51 years. So there you go. That's all. Join us next week for another edition of Shag or Die.
You've been listening to the Mary Whitehouse Experience. It was written and performed by David Baddiel, Rob Newman, Steve Punt, Hugh Dennis, Mark Thomas, the Tracy Brothers and Alison Goldie. The sound was by Alec Hale-Munro and the producer was Bill Dare.